Turn to Isaiah 41, and I'm going to pick up a little bit from a couple of weeks ago, but I'll take a little different route since we're the week after Easter. So I'll take just a little bit different route, but we'll get around. I was trying to get back, of course, to our study in Zechariah, but we just came off Easter. I want to say a little bit about that, and then so many things are happening around the world that I just wanted to point out a few things that really have to do with the very end of what we talked about 2 weeks ago in Revelation 17. So I'll explain all that as we go, but I just want to read these verses. You know, Brother Mark just sang about a beautiful day, and look at these verses in Isaiah 41. Even though, let me just say this, even though sometimes you look out there and think the world's falling apart, or I don't know if I want to go through, you know, what's being set up out there and so forth, here's what the Lord says. Fear thou, and I'm in chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they were that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Isn't that good? Those verses go together. He starts off saying, fear not. And then you look down there in that last verse I read, verse 13, the last part of it. Look at the last few lines. Fear not, I will help thee. Notice he says, In that first verse, I will, at the end of verse 10, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then notice in verse 13, for the Lord, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. I mean, the Lord is holding our hand. That's what he's saying. Now, this is written, of course, to Israel, but we can apply it to ourselves. I'm going to show you that in just a moment. But, before Isaiah was given this and wrote this, even before Israel entered into the captivity. And God knew what they were going to go through. And then they were going to go through many things through history, and God wanted them to have these words of comfort that he was with them, that he would be holding their right hand. And I've got these verses, I've got three of them outlined in yellow. One I have underlined because to segregate it out just a little bit. And because these are verses that you can look back on and that you can count on and you can appreciate. When you see, when you get in an issue with yourself, or when you see all the things that are going on, these verses, just know God is holding your hand. Now, does it just apply to Israel? No, it doesn't just apply to Israel. Look at Isaiah 56. This one's a little out of context, but I'm going to show it to you just so we have it, and then we'll get to something in just a minute. Isaiah 56. These are verses here because, especially the Old Testament. I mean, the whole Bible is written mostly by Jews and so forth, but the Old Testament, very much Jewish book, for our learning. Paul told the Gentiles. Now it's for our learning here, but God has some verses here so that everybody would know I'm going to bring the Gentiles into this as well in the last days. Now, as you know, God has a plan for the church. God has a plan for Israel. Two different plans, which will be joined together at the very end time. But look at this, chapter 56, verse 6. And also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord. Now, the sons of the stranger, he's speaking there of the Gentiles. He's speaking to the Jews, so who's the stranger he's talking about is the Gentiles. Verse 7, when it says, even them, he's talking about, look, even the Gentiles, that's what he's saying there, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. And make, I'll show you this in a moment, and to make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. Look at this. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Now that's the way it's going to be, especially in the end times when the Lord sets up his house of prayer, it's going to be for all people. These blessings that you see, these things we read, you can use them for yourself every single day. I just wanted to say a couple things. We just came off Easter last week. Now, between the time, during that time there, when they were had captured Jesus and persecuting Jesus and of course they crucified him, the early church and the believers at that time, they were afraid about what was going on. They were worried. I mean, they were assembled for fear of the Jews, weren't they? But you notice that after that resurrection, after Jesus had had a moment to speak to them, after he arose, they did not pray that they wouldn't go through persecution. They prayed for what? For boldness, didn't they? They prayed for boldness to be able to share the gospel and preach no longer. Their fears were gone. And I'm sure many times they read this verse. They had Isaiah's writings, as you know, fear thou not, for I am with thee. God is holding our right hand. I want to just go through a couple things about that, those last moments. I know we're after Easter, but I'm going to take it forward to the day we live in a little bit. Those last moments when the capture of Jesus happened and the crucifixion and so forth. I could take you to some verses. We don't have time to do that today, but I could take you to some verses where the Jewish leaders had decided, we're not going to capture Jesus. Their plan was to kill Jesus. But they said, you know, we're not going to do that right now because it's the feast day. We're in the Passover season. I mean, there's thousands of people that have come into Jerusalem for Passover, and we don't want a big uproar of the people here. A lot of people believe in Jesus, and we're not doing it on the feast day. But Jesus, in fact, he had the 12 apostles in the upper room. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but he looked at Judas. I mean, Judas didn't know what was going to happen that night. You study it out. Gee, I read it again this week. Judas did not know what was going to happen that night. He knew he had schemed, already done his scheming. He's sitting there and he's got his bread in the dish and he's just having the Last Supper. And Jesus looks at him and says, no, we're doing it tonight. He said, that thou doest, do thou quickly. You study it out. It's Jesus dismissing, and Judas leaves. It's Jesus dismissing Judas and saying, we're doing it tonight. You see, the point is the leader said, well, we're not going to do it on the feast day. But I just want to show you here that Jesus, in the midst of this issue, of this trial that he was in, he took total control and was in control. He said, no, we're doing it tonight. The band of soldiers then comes after Jesus, don't they? They don't speak first. Read the account. Jesus speaks first. He's got control of the situation. Whom seek ye, he said. They said what? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, who was in total control, I am he. Read it. What happens? They collapse, don't they? I mean, they fall flat. Now that right there, you'd like to think some of them would have second thoughts about what they were doing. They get up and splat on the ground. They get up and they're dusting themselves off. And Jesus says, by the way, let these go. Was there any argument about that? I know Peter went after Malchus. We had the program last week and so forth. No argument though. Jesus said, no, you're going to let these guys go. They didn't argue with Jesus. No, Jesus was in control. You might say, or the world might say, no, somebody took him and crucified him and beat him beyond recognition. To that I would say this, again, Jesus, he settled all that with the Father as he prayed those three agonizing prayers in Gethsemane. It was all worked out. It was all planned out for us, wasn't it? Isaiah had written, I could take you to the verse, where Jesus would, he prophesied, where Jesus would be marred more than any man. And so Jesus, he did this, yes, to fulfill prophecy. Of course, he did it for us. Always makes me, when I read the verse in Isaiah, it always reminds me of the verse over there in Revelation 5, where John, when he saw the Lamb in heaven, he said, I saw the Lamb as it had been slain. Isn't that interesting? He saw Jesus in heaven after the rapture as he had been slain. No, Jesus was marred more than any man. Now, people are getting a little bit fearful of some of the things that are happening today. And I'm going to show some things that have happened around the country, around the world in the last month that could make you, wonder about what's going on. Most people, because we all have our daily lives that we do, and most people don't even realize some of the things that have taken place and will be taking place. But nevertheless, I'm going to show you this. And when we see these things happening, I mean, we're not to be fearful, are we? No, Jesus gave us these verses. And by the way, just like Jesus was in control of the things with regard to his first coming and his crucifixion, his resurrection and ascension and so forth, Jesus is in control today. He knows everything that's going to happen. He knows everything that's going on. Jesus is in control. These verses here, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Jesus is holding our hand. Now, I want us to look at one other passage here before we turn to a couple slides. Go to Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 30. I'm just going to show you a couple more verses that will help us. These verses are very unique. If you read the Bible through every year, depending on what schedule you're on, you're probably well beyond the book of Deuteronomy. Many of you probably already read it yet this year. A lot of people will read the book of Deuteronomy and say, when people start reading the Bible through the year, you know, Genesis, no problem, right? Exodus, pretty good, but Leviticus, that gets people, don't they? That's, if you're going to fall off the cliff reading the Bible sometimes, even though Leviticus, we've talked about it many times in here, is a great book. It's about sacrifice and separation. The two things we depend on today and live by today, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the separation then that we live as we're made alive. Well, Deuteronomy is also a great book. Some people read it and think, man, I've already, this is a repeat. Why is this book in here and so forth? But in fact, Deuteronomy is three messages from Moses to the children of Israel, but not the original crowd that left Egypt. This is the second generation that grew up in the wilderness. This is three messages, and the first one is, he reminds them, Moses reminds Israel, this is what God has done for you. He reminds them of that in the first part of Deuteronomy. And the second message is, this is what God expects from you. In other words, this is the covenant that God made with you. So this is what God's done, and this is the covenant. But he said, in the last part of it, this is what God will do for Israel. Or this is what God will do for you. And he tells them that he ends like that, except for these last two chapters. They're kind of unique. Chapter 33 is considered the Song of Moses. And in the first verse, if I read it, this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. So technically, it's the blessing of Moses, but it is full of the prophecies for Israel. That's really what it is. He wraps it up by giving these prophecies. Now, what is really interesting is most of these prophecies don't have anything to, that in this last, in the very last chapter, of course, chapter 34, Moses walks to his own funeral and that's it, right? But 33, he's giving a prophecy here of the very, not the second generation, but the last generation of Israel. The very, in other words, he's given all that stuff in Deuteronomy and he skips to that remnant who will believe right at the end of the tribulation period. Look at this verse 2. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir. He's speaking, I don't have time to develop this today, but he's speaking about Jesus Christ here, their Messiah. That's who he's speaking about. Came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. I love this. He shined forth. Don't read your verses so fast that we lose what he's, I mean, he shined forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000s of saints. Who's that? That's us, if you're saved today. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. This has to do with the Lord when he shows up the second time, when his second coming, when the Messiah comes, when Jesus Christ comes back, the church will be raptured and then we come back with him. Jude also mentions coming back with 10,000s of his saints, thousands, tens of thousands of the saints come back. Israel is in trouble right here, you see, right as he comes back. I mean, God has sustained them, as we talked about, through this 3.5 years with the Antichrist, but they're in trouble. And here comes Jesus, and he will defeat his enemies. He will come the second time, not as a babe in a manger, but in judgment as he defeats the enemies of his people. Both Jew, he's speaking here of Jews, but there'll be plenty of Gentiles involved in here, those that aren't slaughtered in the tribulation period. And then Jesus, after that battle of Armageddon, will set up his own kingdom on this earth and his law, it says a fiery law for them. His law will be the law of the day. And no judge is going to say different. I mean, what Jesus says in the world at that moment on is going to be the way it is. Yea, verse 3, he loved the people. I just want you to get a flavor of Jesus Christ. He, even though it's going to be in judgment against his enemies, we are all going to be so glad to be with him. He loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Isn't that fantastic? I mean, that's the way it's going to be. Jesus is going to handle everything. He handled everything at the time of all of the trials and the crucifixion and so forth around that Easter, Passover season. He's going to handle everything in the end times. Folks, he's handling everything today. Look at verse 26. I'm still in Deuteronomy 33. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. Jeshurun is a term for Israel. I could prove that from verse 5, but let me keep going. There's none like the God of Israel, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. He rides across the heavens to help you. That's what he's saying there. You see that? He's not in the grave. He arose. He is riding in the heavens to help you. Verse 27, and then we'll move on. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. You know, do you see that verse there, that term, everlasting arms? Next time we sing, leaning on the everlasting arms, Sing that with a little more, right? A little more, you know, a little more excitement, a little more encouragement. That's where it comes from. Hey, we're leaning, we're here underneath the everlasting arms. We're leaning on the everlasting arms. So keep that verse in mind as we go forward here as well. So I'm going to show some things in the last few minutes that we have here that are going on, have gone on in this world in the last, most of it in the last 2 weeks, some of it about toward the last 3 or 4 weeks, just to show how the world is sort of shaping up. And where I'll be heading with this, just to give you a little bit of preview. The Lord, I talked about this 2 weeks ago in Revelation 17. Remember I said that there's going to be these 10 nations. It could also be 10 regions. The Bible just says 10 kings. 10 regions that the world will be divvied up in, you might say. It's not going to be a little bit like it is today. This will be at the very end of the age. We know that because of Daniel chapter 2. Those 10 toes on that image in Daniel chapter 2 represent those 10 nations. And the Bible tells us in Daniel 7 that the Antichrist is going to come out from among them. And so this is at the very end of time. Now, it could be. I don't know when those 10 are going to be formed, and I do not know who those 10 are. Anybody that writes, you know, there are a lot of books written, a lot of things say this is who it is. It's not named in the Bible. There are those that believe it will be 10 nations in the Mideast that I'm just going to use the term Babylon uses to put the global system in place. Remember, we read the verse that Babylon was riding the beast, right? The woman was riding the beast. Therefore, using the beast to set up, if you will, the global system. And then the beast is conquering. We know the Antichrist is conquering. He gains so much control and power that he has those 10 nations overpower Babylon, and he takes over, doesn't he? That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. There's an alignment going on right now that is interesting. I do not know. I'm just going to tell you up front, I don't set dates. This could be nothing. It could be something. There's an alignment going on that we have not seen before. Some things that we haven't seen. I'm just going to move past a couple things. I'm going to go to this one. This came out. This came out the 13th. So 3 days ago, from Fox News. Anti-Christian hostility reaching unprecedented levels in culture. Government under Biden, observers warn. Now, this is not a surprise. I'm just saying this is what everybody is saying. This is what even this is a conservative news agency, of course, but this is what they're saying as well. Now, I'll just say this. The rest of the Christian world has been under persecution for a long time. I mean, you know, a Christian in Iran, a Christian in China even, and so forth. I mean, the rest of the world has seen persecution like we have never, ever seen. So to even put this up as a headline, I wonder if I even should, because, you know, we have not suffered like other Christians have. Now, I'm just saying in general. But I'm just saying it's changing. It's coming. Things are changing. I'm going to use this next slide to just set up what I talked about on the alignment. Of course, you know, this is from the Washington Post, that great bastion of truth. But you know, of course, that the intelligence leak that came out that I'm not trying to talk about that except to say that a long time they denied it, but apparently some things may have been certainly the case. What we are seeing is, and we'll see through that, and we'll see through some other things, is some things like the United States for years has been the global peacekeeper. for the United States for years has been the dollar has been the stable currency of the world that pretty much controlled, you know, the exchange rates of the other currency. You could say that's right or wrong, but that's if a country out here was manipulating their currency, they didn't get by with it very long because all the other countries could go back to the stability of the dollar. And so the United States basically was seen as kind of the stable influence of the world. This is changing, of course, very fast, and it's not only changing because we're kind of divided, aren't we? Speaking of, and so we're letting some things slip by is what's happening. And things are changing. Speaking of that, the same thing with Israel. John, you're going to have to help me again. We're doing so well. John will get us the next slide here. This next slide is from the World Israel News. And the headline is that, and this came out in the leak, the Mossad encouraged the anti-government protest in Israel. Now, of course, Israel is denying that. Mossad is denying that. But when Mossad is like the number one spy agency in the world, and I mean in Israel, and if they had anything to do with those protests, you could be sure that, because there's lots of heartburn about the current Netanyahu government. And I'm just saying it's a good thing God is taking care of Israel and protecting Israel, because they are so divided, I don't know if they're taking care of themselves. I'll just say it like this. One more, and then I'll move on. This one is something. Of course, Egypt has vehemently denied this. We give Egypt $1 billion a year. And the Post reported from those leaked documents that they planned to supply 40,000 rockets to Russia for the war. Now, here we are. Just get the picture here. Here we are giving billions to the Ukraine, and here we are giving $1 billion to Egypt. They're turning those essentially, not directly probably, but indirectly turning that into rockets to give to Russia. You think this world isn't a mess? What did I say from the book of Joshua a few weeks ago? Whose side are we on? Be on the Lord's side, right? Don't, when all of this stuff happens, folks, it's not about being on this side or that side. It's about being on the Lord's side. This one happened 12 days ago. The Saudi crown prince acts to realign Mideast dynamics amid concern over U.S. support. The U.S. has taken its hand off the world for whatever reason. And so some people, including Saudi Arabia and China and Russia, are realigning the world. And this is from Reuters. And I mean, we know that the Saudis did a big deal with Iran about two or three weeks ago. That's an amazing deal. You've got the Sunni and the Shias getting together on a pretty major thing, almost unheard of. Of course, they did the big deal with China. And of course, what is happening is China is wanting Saudi to trade with them in the Chinese currency, the yuan. And they want not the dollar, not the petrodollar, which is basically the dollar that's been the global currency trade for energy, for oil, for all these years. No, look, it was the British sterling years ago, and it got converted to the dollar. Now it looks like it's going to be converted to the Chinese yuan. And we'll see how it goes. But let's keep going here. Mexico is considering joining the BRICS as the relationship weakens under Biden. Now, what are the BRICS? Look at this. Brazil joined about 3 weeks ago. Brazil is B. R is Russia. I is India. It was announced India is joining. China is the C, the fourth one listed, but China is really the one behind this. China, S is South Africa. They threw that in to make a nice little term so you could say the BRICS countries. But So Saudis are in there. Many other African nations are in there. Turkey, if not, is in there, is pretty close. And Iran is in there. Now, I'm just going to read for you quickly. If I was going to list how this world has shaped, now that people have gotten together, you see, if I was going to read for you 10 nations, don't write this down and say, Mike said these were the 10 nations in Revelation 17. I did not. I do not know. And I also have leaned toward that they might be mostly in the Mideast. But let me just tell you that the world is pretty divided right now into 10 regions. It leaves out several countries, so forgive me for that. But you know, take China, Iran, Saudi Arabia. If you take the African nations as a whole, the whole continent, which they don't like that, but if you did, Russia, Brazil, let's just say LATAM, because Mexico just entered, maybe. LATAM, Venezuela, of course, will. LATAM. Turkey, India. And then the last one is sort of kind of a term that we could use to gather the EU and friends in some friends in other, and let's say the United States, maybe, even though we might not, but this whole NATO kind of alliance, that's 10. Now, again, it leaves out Japan, and there's some friends with us that would go in that group, that last group, whatever it ends up being called. Do you see my point? Today, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, an example before, I bring that up just because it's interesting how the world is shaping up today, just exactly like the Bible said it would happen. Look at this slide. I don't know if you can read that. China's foreign minister says Beijing is ready to facilitate the Ukraine-Russia peace talks. Are you kidding me? China is trying to get Taiwan. They're trying to do the same thing to Taiwan. And yet they're going to mediate because we're not doing that anymore, you know, for some reason. So that you can see the United States is taking a back seat to some things that we used to have been in the front seat and the driver's seat on for whatever reason. Now, if there's going to be a global empire run by the Antichrist, can you have a superpower in that? No, it's not the way it's going to be, is it? We know that's not. It's going to be 10 regions, not going to be one. And sure enough, what we're really seeing here is the decline of a major superpower. I have always maintained, whether we would see it or not, that at the rapture, the United States is going to decline rapidly. And so, you know, it's kind of a moot point anyway. But I just think this is almost, I mean, I don't want to say hilarious and such a serious thing, but you're going to let the Chinese facilitate Russia invading Ukraine when China is about to invade Taiwan. I mean, there are a lot of stories this week on that. Our friend Macron, he came to the Washington, D.C., the only state dinner, I think, and maybe I'm wrong on that, maybe there's been one or other or two. I think the only state dinner that Biden has had has been with Macron from France and his wife. Yet he goes over to China this week and basically badmouths us. He said, we're not going to follow the U.S. policy. We don't think China should on Taiwan. I just point that out, that things aren't so stable even in the with the European United States. The United States is still working on the nuclear deal with Iran. This now they've cut out and they're doing it. We'll freeze this if you freeze that. Maybe that's what's got us, I don't know, but the report came out in part of this, and we're still working on that. We're not friends with Israel like we should be. This is from the Jewish News Syndicate. This is from Caroline Glick. You can read. She comes out with a good article about every week that a new phase in U.S.-Israel relations. That's an article worth reading. The United States is separating from Israel. Not good. Rossi said that, Erdogan, who's the head of Turkey, said this week to Iran's head, Rossi, he said the Muslim world, this is published, this is in Jerusalem Post, Muslim world must unite against Israel. Who are the friends of Israel if that happens? If the United States is not, who? It's the church, isn't it? It's believers in Jesus Christ who understand the Bible who are friends of Israel. You can't name a single nation that could say, under every circumstance, I'm a friend with Israel. I used to, you could, the United States, and to some extent you still can, the United States, although the article I referenced previously would question that. But you can, I hope you can see what's happening. Can you imagine what this world will be when the rapture happens? I mean, this is, Israel is going to be alone. What was the slide I started with? Fear not, Jesus said, for I am with thee. Just to finish the thing on NATO, and to show the thing about alliances, Finland for years has said, we're not aligning with anybody. No, we're going to be totally separate. We're not going to align. We're going to, you know, not going to get into it and so forth. And there they are. They've now become the 31st member of NATO. And it almost doubles the border that NATO regions have with Russia. It is a slap in the face to Putin for whatever you think about that. But nevertheless, I'm just showing, don't tell me there's not alignment going on when people like Finland align with people. There's alignment going on. People know they have to choose sides, and that is what's going on. Because several of you have asked, I just threw that in this last slide, and then I'm going to close, but I hope you get my point here. Do not be alarmed. Whose hand are we holding? Brother John, whose hand are we holding here? Yeah, we're holding the Lord's hand. The Lord in our right hand is holding the Lord's right hand. That's what he said. I mean, he got pretty specific there in that verse, didn't he? Don't worry about things. Some of you have asked about the cryptocurrency and the things. Look, it's coming. There's going to be a one world currency. Robert Kennedy is running for president on the Democratic side. He said the Fed just announced it. Well, I know you can't read that, but I put up the original so you know that I didn't make this up. The Fed just announced it will introduce its FedNow, which is the central bank digital currency. The governments are not liking cryptocurrency because crypto is private. And crypto, remember when I gave the example that time about Bethany Baptist senior adults could do cryptocurrency, you know, our own little currency if we want. I gave the example. Remember that? Well, governments don't like that because they want to know everything, you see. So they got rid of crypto and its central bank digital currency, which means no hard currency. It's called FedNow. And of course, he says, he criticized it immediately. This is a tweet. Immediately, the Federal Reserve came out immediately and said, we've made no decision. They did not say they weren't going to do it. They said, we've made no decision on entering CBDC or central bank digital currency and would not do so without clear support of Congress and the executive branch, which, by the way, means nothing. You could have a certain two parties running, you know, the House and the Senate and the same party as president, and whether half the world disagreed with it, that group could still do it. But this is a carefully worded rebuttal. And then it said just it did say this, and so you should find this tweet and keep it. A CDC would not replace cash or other payment options. That statement's going to be proven false one of these days, isn't it? Ah, it's going to, and there's no question. But at least that is the response that they gave now, so I'm trying to give the whole thing and give both sides of it. But the Lord said this. I don't want you to leave here thinking, man, that was a downer. No, was the Lord in control at the resurrection? Was at the crucifixion? In the capture, he was in control. The Lord said, I'm going to be in control in the last days. Let me just tell you, God knows everything that's happening. Everything's happening. Now, man has a free will. They're going to do as they please, but sovereign God has told us how this is going to work out. And what he says to us is, fear thou not, I'm holding your hand. Fear thou not, I'm holding your hand. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for